eternal mind is receptive to your word. We decree, we declare that there's no error in this atmosphere. We receive as we ought to receive. There's clarity. As we look into your word, we receive your word with clarity. In Jesus' name. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We are discussing the topic explaining water baptism, or explaining baptism, communion, and anointing oil from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. Okay. From verse 18 into 20. Okay. Verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So he tells them, go and make disciples. Disciples. That word disciples. Before we look at the word disciple, he said, and he came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Which is a word you will not find again used in scriptural texts. But other accounts will call it word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he uses the word disciples. Is the word matitude. Is a word which implies how one is schooled or taught. A word which implies how one is schooled or taught. It implies to train from a pupil to a scholar. To train somebody to become a scholar in a field. It's not a Christian word per se, in quotes. No. Hallelujah. So it's not like Jesus coined the word. It's the same word you'll find in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Matthew 27, verse 57 speaks about Joseph of Arimathea, the rich guy, the disciple. You find the same word in Acts chapter 14, verse 21. At 14, 21. That word matitio is from the noun matitis. From the noun matitis. Which has a root word called methano. Methano. The word methano implies one who learns. One who learns, Bethano. During understanding the gospel, we said the word Methano has a root word. Here you have the word maths, from where we have mathematics, to use your reasoning. Do you understand? To make use of your reasoning. How one is trained. So, and we gave an example that in a typical disciple of the Pharisee, the moment you are a student, you are handed over the Torah of Moses, the five books of Moses. You are handed over the Torah, and you are to memorize and know the Torah offhand. You know it offhand. You know the Torah. You will recite the Torah. You will know what the Torah is. Do you understand? So they made use of their reasoning. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So, the authority of Christ, Jesus said, go ye therefore, the all authority has been given unto me
in heaven and on earth. He said, go ye therefore and make disciples.
That means to say the authority of Christ is seen in the raising of disciples. Do you understand it? It's saying, and how do you raise disciples? Preaching, teaching. Do you understand it? So it's seen in how disciples are raised.
In verse 20, now tells us how you do that.
You know, say teaching them. Do you understand that? That's the word.
Teaching them to observe. That is how you raise disciples. Discipleship is a process. So it involves teaching.
Hallelujah.
It involves teaching.
It involves teaching correction. We'll look at that shortly. Hallelujah. It involves teaching.
That word teaching is the word didasco. Didasco.
Didasco is a word that implies, or it implies the act to give instruction. It implies giving an instruction. Hallelujah. To give an instruction, the act of giving instruction, the act of explaining is called didasco.
That word didasco is a verb. The act of explaining.
And the word didasco has surrounding words.
It has surrounding words like didaskalia, didache. Actually, it's from the root word didache. From the root word didache.
But it has other surrounding words like brothers and sisters. Didaskalia,
didache, didaskalos, and surrounding words like that.
Didaskalia implies teaching. It means teaching, explanation. The explanation of something.
Then it's the explanation. Didache tells us about how it is explained, the mode of explanation.
Didache is the mode of explanation.
The mode of explanation. How what is explained is explained. Didaskalia deals with,
let's leave it at that for today, at the explanation itself. We'll find that word in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Quickly, 2 Timothy 3, 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. It says, verse 15 into 16. It says, And that from childhood,
you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good works.
Hallelujah.
He says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it is profitable for what? For doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, take note of the words there. Remember, when he talks about scripture, he's making reference to what the Old Testament writings, right? We know that by now. Hallelujah. We know that already. That is settled.
Now, when he now says he's profitable for doctrine, doctrine, that is the word didaskalia there. Didaskalia for doctrine, teaching.
You find didaskalia again, before we get there, if I say that, for teaching. Now, teaching will bring about correction. Will bring about reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. The word instruction in righteousness is what we have the word paideia, which implies what? Used for the relationship between children or a child and a parent. So it's used for training. It's a word that implies for training, spiritual training, or for growth. Now that means every teaching of the scriptures, every proper interpretation, or let me put it like this,
teaching of the scriptures well explained is for what? Spiritual growth. And verse 15 tells us what that teaching is all about: salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Now you can just let's put it this way. Let's rearrange that scripture this way. And from a childhood, you've known the Holy Spirit, which are able to make you wise. Okay. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we cannot say verse 16 will not be salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, is profitable for doctrine. Did you get that? Because when it says all scripture, is referring to what? All scripture that you find salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Right? Now, like I said, that content is profitable for doctrine. And that is needed for what? Spiritual growth. Do you understand me? That the man of God may become effective, or may become complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, in that spirit, you know, we just said teaching is for spiritual growth, right? Now, in the teaching, you would find correction. You find correction. You find correction. Meaning, the scriptures would correct even the way you handle or you see this, or it will correct the way you explain things. It will correct character, it will correct, it's like for discipline. Do you understand me? Let's read that into chapter 4. Let's see that how Paul will now tell Timothy. Verse 17. He said that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word. Did you see that? Preach the word. What is he going to be preaching as the word? Chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, right? He said, preach the word. Now, what did he now say? Be ready in season and out of season. He said, convince. That is what you find in the scripture, right? Convince. Rebuke. Did you see that? Rebuke. Meaning, in the teaching of the word, you find rebuke. Do you understand? You find rebuke. You find correction. The word correction is the word straightening. You'll be straightened. That is, you'll find much more insight. And then the explanation of the scripture would rebuke wrong conduct, the wrong way of seeing scripture. Proper explanation of scriptures will rebuke that. It will rebuke, it will rebuke improper explanation of the scriptures. You'll find corrections when the word is taught to you. Hallelujah. So the same thing Paul would tell Timothy, he said, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, that is teaching. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the teaching of the word, will find correction. You'll find rebuke. Hallelujah. The man of God will say, a man who, if the scripture that teaches you does not correct you, you're not ready for spiritual growth. And I agree to that 100%. Because it will correct you. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can say, listen, we can say the teaching of the word, or in the teaching of the word, we can say rebuke is inspired by the Spirit. Do you understand that? Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Spirit. And in the explanation of that scripture, there's a rebuke. Do you understand? So rebuke is inspired by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the other word we have, surrounding word, is the word didache. Didache. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Didache. It implies what is being taught or how it is being taught. The mode of explanation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Jesus started teaching from chapter 5 into chapter 6 into chapter 7. And now in chapter 7, verse 28, the Sermon on the Mount, verse 28, he said, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these things, that the people were astonished at his teaching." That was teaching everyone was with their chain. They were astonished at his mode of explanation. How? Verse 29. Say, "For he taught as one having authority and not as the scribe." So, the way Jesus taught was different from the way the scribes taught. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Matthew 16, verse 12. Matthew 16, verse 12. It says, "And they understood." I'll read verse 6 first. Look at verse 6 so that you understand. Verse 6. It says, "And he said to them, take heed and beware of the living leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Verse 12. "And they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the didache of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And he told them to be. What he said is that they should be careful of what explanations. Do you understand me? Of the explanations of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Do you understand me? Meaning, the way they explain scriptures was wrong. Do you understand me? The way they explain scriptures is wrong. So he tells them to be aware. Beware of them. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 22. Of Matthew. Matthew 22, verse 33. They came between him, asking him a question about the resurrection. A man marries a wife and dies. The seven brothers married and they all died. In the resurrection, none of them had a child. And in the resurrection, who will be the husband, right? The resurrection of life. Then look at what Jesus replied. Verse 32. Let me start from verse 29. He said, "And Ezra then said to them, you are mistaken, you err, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in the heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read, Anna Genoscio, what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. That's verse 33. It's wonderful, right? Sometime, someday, we're going to look at that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. And when it says it's not the God of the dead, and it mentions Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? It says God of the living. Verse 33 now says, "And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching." That teaching there, the word at his explanation, didache. They were astonished at his didache. That word astonish is the word ekpleso. Ekpleso. E-K-P-L-E-S-S-O. Ekpleso. E-K-P-L-E-S-S-O. It's from the compound word E-K. Not E-K. E-K. And pleso. Or plaso. Plaso. The word EK is like, you know how ecclesia, right? is the word that implies to come out or to call out. Do you understand? The word that implies to call out or to come out. Do you understand?
The word pleso or plaso.
Okay, pleso, not plaso, pleso. Is the word that implies to smitten, to be smitten or to strike. To be smitten or to strike. You find that word in Revelation 8, verse 12. To be smitten. Strike. The word pleso has a similar word, or we call it a root word. That's a similar word, or we call it a root word. And that is the word plaso. P-L-A-S-S-O. Get it from the word plaso. It's used for something that is from clay. Something that is from clay or wax. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. I mean, did I say verse 2? Verse 12, sorry. Second. I guess I've missed the scriptures, right? Okay, I'll get that to us before.
Let's see by tomorrow. I'll get that settled. Yes, it's just 23:2.
But let's move ahead. Okay.
It's the word that implies that word plaso. The word that implies to something that is from clay or wax. It implies to flatten out.
To flatten out.
So, a plesso will imply to come out flattened. That's a, to come out perplexed. So they were perplexed or flattened at his didache, at his mode of explanation. His explanation will get them flattened out. This tells us something. You know, number one, we've established the fact that the Pharisees the Sadducees rather, didn't explain the scriptures well, right? Didn't explain the scriptures well. One, we've gotten that one side. Number two is that the explanation of Christ is different from theirs. Very different. Because Christ Jesus holds the explanation of the scripture, for he is the script. In fact, the scriptures are his words. He is the word. Do you understand? Do you understand? So he holds the explanation to the scriptures. Now, listen. This shows that there is a how the scripture should be explained. There is a how the scripture should be explained. Take note that the Pharisees, being the custodians of the Torah, were the ones astonished. This shows that they were not explaining aright. And this is the reason why Jesus will say, beware of what? Their explanation. Do you understand? Beware of their explanation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beware of the explanation. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22. Mark 1:22.
Let's move there fast. Mark chapter 1, verse 22. It says, and they were all astonished. Okay, I'll start from verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately immediately on the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, verse 7. Verses 27. And they were all amazed. We have to see what happened before that. He casted out unclean spirits, verse 25. And he rebuked them, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new didache?" Did you see that? What new explanation is this? "For with authority he commanded out the unclean spirit, and they obeyed him." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 11 of Mark, quickly. Chapter 11 of Mark, verse 18. Mark 11:18. "And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his didache, his teaching." Hallelujah. 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 So the explanation of Christ from what you've read is different. The explanation of Christ from this concerning the scriptures was different from that of the Pharisees. You could see it clearly, right? Right? It's clear, it's different. Look at John chapter 7, verse 16. John 7:16. Into 17. Okay, I will start from verse 13. "However, no one spoke openly of him for the fear of the Jews." That was when he came to meet him. Now look at verse 14. "Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How does this man know letters, having never studied?'" Did you see that? "How does he know letters?" Verse 16, "Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but is he who sent me.'" Say, "My didache, my explanation is not mine, but he who sent me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus shows us that his mode of explanation is the God's way of explanation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the God's way of explanation. Take note.
It is his words. John 1:1. He is the message. He is the message. John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." We'll look at that. We'll look at that tomorrow, I guess. I have to push it tomorrow. We'll look at that tomorrow. We'll be there. Long time tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. So Jesus shows us that. In Acts 2:42. Now talking about those who were saved, who have received the forgiveness of sin, verse 42. "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." That's the word didache. The apostles' didache. "And fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer."
Who continued? The disciples. The ones who just received
the message, who receive the remission of sins, who receive the new birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, he said they continue stepping in the apostles' doctrine. Meaning, the disciples learned the mode of teaching. They had to be taught how scriptures are explained. Do you understand? They say how. Do you understand? So the disciples learned it. New converts, they learned it. They learned how scriptures should be explained. And they learned it the way Christ would explain it. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Acts of Apostles chapter 5, verse 28, go to chapter 5, let's just look at it quickly. Verse 28, we saw this yesterday. It says, and now they are warning them. Let's start from verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood on us. You fill Jerusalem with your explanation. That's the word, didache. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You fill the whole Jerusalem with your didache, your mode of explanation. Did you see that? Shows you that the disciples to explain scriptures the way Christ did. Chapter 13, verse 12. Let's look at Paul. He was in Cyprus. He said, and the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord, explanation, doctrine of the Lord. Did you get that? Chapter 17, verse 19. Paul again. This is Paul in Athens. 19. Did I say 19? Yeah, 19. And they took him and brought him. Okay, and they took him and brought him to
Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine.
Do you see that?
May we know what new doctrine is. May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak. Did you see that? Meaning, Paul explained it
how? The way Christ would explain it. Hallelujah. Different from how they were taught by the Pharisees. Do you understand? Glory to God.
So the disciples talk the same way Jesus would teach.
Hallelujah.
I don't hear. So there's a skillfulness in explaining scriptures, which the disciples of Christ must adopt, must be taught. Which the disciples of Christ must be taught. Matthew 28, verse 20. Is it teaching them to observe all things, all those things that I've commanded you? Part of what they will observe is how scriptures is taught. Do you understand? Teaching them to observe all these things, including how it should be taught. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Do you understand me? So they will observe. This is how scriptures is explained to us. That is why Paul will cannot tell Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you've heard of me among many witnesses, they said the same commit. Now when they say the same commit, that word is called paratitene, which implies to place something the same way you've received it.
It's from the root word that says to place something the same way you received it. That means they will explain it the same way, or Timothy will explain it the same way Paul has taught it. And the one who will teach others will explain it the same way. That's why they are called faithful. Because they will be faithful to how it is taught. Do you understand? They will be faithful to how it is taught. Very important. Hallelujah. Have you not seen people teach about this gospel? They will talk and talk and talk everything anyhow, but they'll just announce that Jesus died for your sins. You understand? So, but listen, you have to know how it is taught. You understand? How scripture is explained. You understand? Have you not seen someone say, another man eats apple? Because of Adam and Eve's apple, everybody in the world is not a sinner. Because everybody is not a sinner, Jesus now came and died for everybody.
Now you should receive him. Now, let us still preach Christ again. But that's not how scripture is explained. That is that. Aha. Glory to God.
So you have to explain scripture, scripture way. And how would you explain the scripture? You explain the scripture from the scripture, because the scripture explains itself. Do you understand? And very important, you know, we are so blessed. You know why I say we are so blessed? I will say we are so blessed because in those days, they don't have Romans, they don't have Ephesians, they don't have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinths, Timothy. They only had the Old Testament. Now, much more the reason why Paul would not say Timothy is skillful. He's seeing what salvation through faith in Christ Jesus of the scriptures. Do you understand me? In seeing it. In seeing the truth amongst facts. Hallelujah. But we today, the epistles have explained it to us. Hallelujah. So what we do is that we now teach in the light of the epistles. Do you understand me? The epistles become our the light upon which we teach the scriptures. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So the epistles explain the Old Testament to us. So, we are blessed. So you just open. Oh, this is what Paul was talking about. Wow. Do you understand? Now it's easy for you to say, but then you have to read together. And that doesn't change reading the way you should be done. And as you know, skill, you read the details. Hallelujah. You get to know the details. Hallelujah. And you explain in the light of the epistles. You don't lift out of context. I was about putting something online today from my phone went off. You don't lift out of context. No. Most people that lift out of context, they will lift out of context and they will back it up with examples or with testimony. So you learn that testimony is not more than the scriptures. See what I said? Aha. Your experience does not explain the scriptures. No. The scriptures. Will direct your experience. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So there is a way, scripture, there's a skillfulness in teaching scriptures. A skillfulness. Hallelujah. And you learn this skillfulness in the local church. Glory to God. So there's a pattern to explain the Old Testament scriptures. It's a pattern. And that's what we just said, that Paul commended Timothy. Hallelujah. For he calls it wise, sophism, skillful. Hallelujah. So how did Jesus explain the scriptures? Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, quickly. Verse 25. It says, and he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. To unlock the Christ who has suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses, we're going to talk about this. Beginning at Moses, And all the prophets, he expounded diamenio. That's the word. Diamenio. It means to interpret. Hallelujah. Interpret cutting through scriptures. So, meaning Jesus will go through the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, and he will explain it. That's what he did. Hallelujah. He went through it. He showed them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He expounded. That's where we get the word exegesis from. There's an expounded unto them, Daniel, right? In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. In verse 44. And this he said to them, this was which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. You see that? Concerning me. So, verse 45, and open he the understanding, that they might understand, that they might comprehend, sunema, to bring together Genesis to Malachi. Yes, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus explained the scriptures concerning himself. As concerning me. Hallelujah. When he uses the word in verse 26, it says, of not the Christ. Listen, when he uses that word, of not the Christ, to suffer these things, he shows that Jesus being the Christ was not a title. Jesus being the Christ was not a title. He is the Christ by his accomplishment. By his accomplishment, that is, by what he has done. His resurrection is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ by accomplishment, not the title. But because of what he has done. So he said, of not the Christ. To suffer this land to enter into his glory. That is talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Very important. Of not the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory. Meaning the explanation of the scriptures is Christ-centered.
That's where some people got that word, Christocentric.
Christ-centered. For Christ, see, listen. Jesus, listen, Jesus will explain the scriptures as concerning himself. You understand? So he will explain it as concerning the Christ. You understand? For him not to explain it that way, he's already not in the Christ. You understand? So you have to explain it as concerning the Christ. Because that is what the explanation of the scriptures is. John 5:39.
Quickly. John 5:39. Said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me.
They testify of me. That is the word material. It means to bear witness of something that precedes you. To bear, okay, let's say to bear witness. And when we look at it critically, to bear good witness, a good report, to have a good report concerning something, someone, or an event. Do you understand? You have to be a good report about concerning something, someone, or an event. So he said, the scripture bears good record concerning me. Hallelujah. Very important. So to explain scriptures outside Christ is to have heteros euangelion, heteros gospel, another gospel. To explain scriptures outside Christ. When you try to use scriptures to explain how you have material wealth, how you have this and that, how you got promotion, not everything from the scriptures, is to have another gospel. When you go into scripture and you explain it outside the explanation that you have in the epistles, is to have another gospel. When you get to Genesis, remember the Bible says, and beginning at Genesis, okay, beginning at Moses. Moses is Genesis, right? Moses is Genesis. He wrote Genesis. And when you get to Genesis, and you begin to see the characters as different, or begin to see the characters and explain it differently from Christ-centered, it will have another gospel. You understand? I know somebody who went to Genesis from chapter 2, began to teach marriage. Still, he said, the last time I spoke to him, I've not heard it from Pastor Wizard. Then I spoke to him, he said, I'm still getting new remnants. He said, the Lord is opening my eyes to great mysteries that have never been revealed. You have to be careful when you begin to receive mysteries that have never been revealed. You know that? You understand it? But the Bible says the mystery that was hid has been revealed. So what are you revealing? People say, I have an anointing greater than that of Apostle Paul, the glory of the latter half, and I see that of the former. It's because you don't know scripture. Because if you know scripture, you explain that well. Don't worry, we'll look at that also when we get to teach the glory that exceeds. Then the glory that exceeds. We'll look at that. This is the glory of the latter half. Sorry, I see that of the former. That was talking about. Let's leave that. It's not about. It's not for today. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So the glory is that of the former. So therefore, I have a bigger vision than Paul. Keep quiet. You must understand the fact that the apostles, listen, they have a major role they played in scripture or in Bible interpretation. They are called foundational apostles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul will call himself one who lays the foundation. You understand me? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, he will say the mysteries. He will call it the mysteries that have been revealed to who? The holy apostles who are the mouthpiece of God, who are prophets. You understand me? So it is the mystery has been revealed and has been documented for us by the apostles. You understand me? So you now study the Old Testament in the light of the epistles. Meaning, what you have in the epistles, the background of the epistles will be what the Old Testament writing. Do you understand me? Because the Old Testament, because the epistles explains the Old Testament writings. We'll say that time without numbers. Paul will call the Old Testament writing mysteries, mysterion, what needs to be explained. Mystery of what needs to be explained. Now you will now call the epistles. You will now call the epistles what? Revelation of that mystery. Do you understand? So the epistles are revelation of the mystery. Hallelujah. He said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what the things which God has prepared for them that are, but he has revealed them to us. The us there is not referring to everybody, but referring to the who? To the apostles. Now we can now read it and say it has been revealed to us because why we have read. Do you understand? Aha. Do you understand? It has been revealed to us because we have read. Do you understand? Aha. Paul will now say, by which way you read, you understand. Do you understand me? You understand. So maybe our role is to read. Anaginosu. To read. How it has been explained to us. You read. You pay attention to the details. You pay attention to the to the way the prepositions are used. You pay attention to contextual readings. Do you understand me? You pay attention, you don't pay attention to the chapters and verses, no, you pay attention to context. Do you understand me? So you're reading in context, you read pretext, foretext, backtext, uptext, downtext, alttext. Just read all. Hallelujah. Just make sure you are reading everything. You are reading all. Glory to God. So, where is your role? The role of the believer is the word study. Anagenosu. That's what that means, to read thoroughly. You find that word in Matthew chapter 19. He said, have you not read? Have you not read? Matthew 19 verse 4. Have you not read? So it's very important that our role is to read. Paul will use it, he will tell us to, when you read. In Colossians chapter 4, he will say that these epistles be read openly and also to the church at Laodicea. And then you, that was written to that of the Laodiceans, you should read. That's the word anagenos. Meaning you read, you pay attention to the details. Do you understand? You pay attention to the details. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So reading comes with concentrated devotion. Studying the scriptures comes with concentrated devotion. You get devoted to read. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I shared yesterday, it said, you avoid distractions. So it's called a concentrated devotion as a study. Very important. So when you explain scriptures outside what has been explained to us. So what are you explaining? You explain what has been explained. Do you understand? You explain what has been explained. So when I go to Leviticus and I see, you shall do washings. You shall do this, you shall do this, you shall do that ceremony. You must see it explained in the epistle. Do you understand me? It must be, it has been explained in the epistle. So you now read it, and you know, when you read the Old Testament, what you should have in your front should be what Pastor Sherry will call it foreground. What you should have in your front should be the explanation in the epistles when you read the Old Testament. Do you understand me? What you should have in your front should be what the explanation in the epistles. Do you understand me? And then when you read also, Jesus gave us how we should read, or he tells us a way of reading scripture. You must understand background. We'll see that tomorrow. You must understand background. When they came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, and they said, Moses suffered us, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And Jesus replied and saying, have you not read? Have you not read? In the beginning, he that made them male and female. He was reading where? Genesis chapter 1. Do you understand me? I'm sorry, he was quoting Genesis chapter 2, rather, verse 15. Then he now said, but why did Moses suffer us to issue a bill of divorce? Do you understand me? Then Jesus now gave them the background. He now said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Do you understand me? So you now see that when you read Moses, you must understand the fact that in the background were men of hardened hearts. Do you understand me? Were men of unbelief. So that will now form how Moses will write to them. We'll see that tomorrow too. How Moses will write to them. Do you understand me? So you will not understand what you need to understand background, but in the forefront you have, or in the front you have his explanation in the epistles and where in the four gospels. Do you understand me? You find the explanation in the four gospels and in the epistles. Hallelujah. Do you get that? So when you read, you look at why was this statement made? For what reason was it made? Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like someone reading and say, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now we have come to Christ. There's no more schoolmaster. You know, that is you just reading blindly. If you read in context. Okay, let me even start from before there. Where he said, about children. Say the head, as long as he's a child, different not from the servant, though he be master of all, but he's kept under tutors and what? And okay, kept under tutors till the time appointed of the father, right? Now, if you read that and say yes, no, and I'm saying this, I'm crucifying myself. So, you read that, and you're not saying, yes, while you are yet a child. He put you on that, you are mistaken. He was referring to, was writing, when you read in context, he's writing concerning Israel. Do you understand? So that's why you have to do a good contextual reading. You don't just jump and do, you know, this thing that people used to do. Thank God I never did it.
Just put your Bible like this. Where is the Lord? The Lord has something to say. The Lord has something to say. Listen, listen. Pay attention. The Lord has something to say. And so, oh! Matthew 18, verse 19.
You now carry it out of context. That's it. You now have the song in your mind.
When I read my, when I my Bible, I ask myself three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What is God saying to me? I'll ask the Holy Spirit, who lives in my heart, to show me the answers clearly.
You get me? You don't want to be showing you answers. Your blind mind.
Don't be showing you different answers.
You now read a verse, now take it out of context, that is not the spirit of God. Now, you don't learn to use it to apply to your personal life. No, be careful.
Hallelujah.
So you must learn, you see, you cannot read in a rush. You cannot read in a rush. Thank God for, I used to read in a rush years back. Just sit down, just read.
From that, when you are reading, the thing is getting sweet, just carry it, just put it on your chest. Enter. Enter. Enter.
That's it. Is that not funny? I did that too. Yes, but you know, it's never me. Nothing enters.
Father, you have bad dreams. Bad dreams anymore. That is where dad has been chasing you. Snake will fly against you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why am I just saying all this?
Well,
and that is very, very important. Right, completely. Early enough in ministry, before we started ministry, I started learning how to get this one.
You understand?
Well, I learned it the following way. How to just be slow. You know, when we know that we are getting tired,
we are looking for whatever way is given.
We are already getting tired. We are studying very well. Yeah, my brother. You know what I mean? Yeah, my brother. We'll be studying. Maybe 1 hour, 2 hours. Get to the third hour. You are already getting tired. I need to stand up and get it. If that same spirit,
bro, read.
That is that. Read. So you read. That is that. You read. The first time I studied for 8 hours. Then he goes, I used to study alone. I tell you for that brother in school. We sat together and studied that long. And I had to do that study because of the day I studied my books for 6 hours. I was like, without brushing my teeth, without eating, I read books. I said, if I was reading books, I would read Bible like this. You know what I'm saying? So challenge myself, I was doing, I would not exceed it the first time. I was good. Do you know that? Hallelujah. So it calls for concentrated reading. When you study, it's not the time to carry concordance. It's time to study. Now, believe what Greek called read first. You know that? Read first. Some of us now, because of Vine Bible, we no longer read. We also call the Greek word. Now, see, where that word exists, 50 places, now believe in one word. Look at your life. We'll go to the answer. Study! Diligence is study! You know, study. There are times you study, you drop that Bible aside, and you read. You know what I'm saying? You read, you study. It's called study. Hallelujah. It calls for full attention. Glory to God. So our role is to study.
glory, glory, glory. How did you get it? Got it somehow and you did somehow.
Hallelujah. So Jesus said the scripture spoke about him.
And we got there by saying you can't get to the Old Testament and explain it outside Christ. He's the center thing. You can't get there and just explain it anyhow. No. And in explaining it the right way, you must look at context, pretext, posttext. How did they explain the epistles? And you know, another very important key ingredient in Bible study is be loud when the epistles are loud. Do you understand? And we're going to see that as we study on, as we have different teaching meetings. We're going to look at that. We're going to see that when the epistles are loud, you are loud. Where they are subtle, you are subtle. Where they are quiet, you are quiet. Do you understand? Are you hearing me? Because those are the explanations. Those are the explanations. You cannot go and see where a Moabite killed his son and there was indignation against the children of Israel and say, where is your son? Your son is that fat account. You see your life. It is where the money turns to son.
Hallelujah. Just funny people. Okay, let's go ahead. So the scripture spoke about him.
John will write this way. In fact, John's gospel, we said this yesterday, will stand out about how he explains Christ's birth. How he explains Christ. So his own account will stand out in that introductory part. He will crash Genesis to Malachi into verse 1 to verse 14. He will crash everything into verse 1, into 13 verses. Hallelujah. Very important. He will do that. I was saying yesterday that is John's hypnotics. We called Jesus the Logos.
I will say the word logos means a message, right?
It is the conclusion of a message. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word.
John 1:1, let's be there. We explained this yesterday, but I'm going to do that again. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. We see that word in is the word en, E-N. It implies involved in. Right? It implies involved in. So, you said involved in the beginning was word. That word D is italicized. We said that, right? Right? Okay. Involved in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. That word with is the word pros. With God is the word prostios. Prostios.
It's a word that implies to point towards something. Or to point in view to. That's what close. In view of. Now, when it says close to us, it means the word points to God. You understand? The word was with God. It's the word that means the word points to God.
Hallelujah. Was with God. And the word was God. That word, the word was God, is actually written, and God was the word. Do you understand? Do you understand that? So God is the word.
And we said yesterday that to say Christ is, or to say Christ is not God, is heresy.
Hallelujah. We said that yesterday, and we're loud about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's heresy. See, the word points to God. It says in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. It says the light shines in the darkness.
What does that tell you? Where is that? Genesis chapter 1, right? Right? The light be, and there was light.
The light shines in darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I mean chapter 4. So God who commanded light to shine out of darkness and shine in our hearts. Hallelujah. So he's explaining Genesis. He said in him is life. And the life is the light of man. Verse 6. He said there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, idiots, and his own did not receive him. I mean, he came to his kindred, and they did not receive him. How did he come to his kindred, and they did not receive him? The words of the prophets. Hallelujah. Verse 11. He came to his own, but as many as received him, where? In the Old Testament, right? He gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you look at verses, what John is writing here, he says that the prophet spoke concerning Christ. They preached it and it was documented for us. You know, what was documented, what you have documented as written scripture was first of all spoken before it was written. Jonathan, it was first of all spoken before it was written. John, Hebrews 1, verses 1 into 2. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and as in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all these things, through whom he made the whole world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he said, God, who at various times, now,
you don't start a scripture or a writing with God. Hallelujah. So he said, at various times and in various ways, the prophet spoke to the fathers.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. When you use the word the prophet, when you use the word prophet, it's the word prophet, which means mouthpiece of God. Do you understand? So he's not going to say the prophet of God. Now the prophet spoke to the fathers. Why would they speak to the fathers? The word of God, right? But in these last days, in verse 2, spoken by his Son. Now, whom he has appointed head of all these things. Of all things will mean what? All the words of the prophet. Remember, in Bible study, when you say the word all, does not mean everything. It means all in context. Do you understand that? All in context. So now I'll say, what is the cause? We're going to look at all this in our study. So we are setting the what? The background. We're setting the background. So when you look at the word all, it means all this. And all this will not be in that context. Do you understand me? Aha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're here. Is the Father of all. We don't ask all what. Because you know that the father of those who are not in Christ are who? The devil. Or is the devil. Do you understand? You have to know what is the context, what all means in context. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Come to meet me.
I like you. The man of the spirit.
Epistles. Okay. Let's round up.
But we must finish. So when you say higher of all things, it means Jesus is the fulfillment of the words of the prophet.
You know, he is that fulfillment.
Hallelujah.
He's the fulfillment of the words of the prophet. That means the prophets prophesied about him, concerning him. In Matthew, in John 5:45.
In the 46. Let us read verse 46.
He said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for you wrote concerning me.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
So we say that the scriptures are Christ-centered. Much more, the reason Jesus explained the scriptures concerning himself.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
So we say all Jesus' earthly teaching, parables, will be about himself. Or will be concerning himself. If he must be the Christ, his teaching, his parables will be concerning the Christ. You know that? He must not deviate from proper biblical explanations. Right? This is the reason why they were astonished. This is the reason why they were astonished. To preach otherwise is to be false teaching. Hallelujah. False teaching.
Glory to God.
Let's just take two more scriptures as well. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Tomorrow I promise you is very, very,
very, very, very easy.
Actually, go have enough to cover up tomorrow. Have enough to cover up. Tomorrow is the one I won't have to.
Glory to God.
Acts 2, verse 17. It's a long one, but let me just cut it short. We've read it during understanding the gospel. I will continue it. We'll continue from there. That will be next month. As we continue on that topic, understanding the gospel. Now, we'll keep preaching understanding the gospel. We'll keep preaching it. But it's Jesus comes. Hallelujah. After explaining their experience in Solomon's pouch or porch, that is, what was their experience? The gift of the Spirit, right? Peter's explanation from the scriptures, he ministered from the scriptures and he ministered Christ. Do you understand me? So, Peter's explanation from Joel. He ministered Christ. He quoted Psalms. He did the same thing in Acts of Apostles chapter 3. He quoted the Psalms and he explained Christ from the Psalms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's very important. Very, very important. Explanation of the scriptures must be Christ-centered. Hallelujah. Have you learned something?
Okay.